blessed or blessed. Are you blessed? It's such a loaded question, right? There are some who throw that word around like a badge of honor, as if the many things that have happened to go well in their lives are proof that they have done something right. I'm so blessed to have this wonderful house. I'm so blessed to have such an amazing family. I'm so blessed to have enough money to live comfortably. And while it may be that these are all things worth being grateful for, sometimes, maybe often, they are blessings that are unearned, that we might even say those of us who are able to name those kinds of blessings just got lucky, or dare I say, we have a lot of privilege. In this world, especially our capitalist-driven economy, where accumulation of wealth and power is seen as something to strive for and admire, we can easily believe that those who are the most well off are those who are most blessed or most blessed. Blessed are the successful, for they will gain influence. Blessed are the strong, for they will obtain power. Blessed are the beautiful, for they will be loved. Blessed are the wealthy, for they can buy everything they want. Blessed are the powerful, for they will never be afraid. This is the message we receive all day, every day, through social media, through advertisements, everyday interactions. It's the water that we swim in our culture, and it is so pervasive that sometimes we forget that it's there. In fact, it's so normalized, it even seeps into the church. We see it in megachurches, where preachers blatantly preach a prosperity gospel that material blessings and success will magically be gifted to you by God if you just believe or do or say the right things. And we see it in more subtle ways as well, by those who judge the value of a church by its size, the number of successful programs it runs, the length of the membership roster, the average age of those in attendance, or the size of its budget. Blessed are the big churches, for they will have endless resources. Blessed are the young churches, for they will never die. Blessed are the wealthy churches, for they can make a bigger impact. It's just another way the church in the United States buys into the lies of our greedy, wealth-driven consumer culture. I have well-meaning, extended family members who ask me at family gatherings, how is your church doing? Is it growing? Do you have new people? More young families? Higher attendance? As if this is some measure of my success as a pastor or our effectiveness as a congregation. I usually respond to these questions with some general statements about how Percussy Mennonite Church is doing very well, and that, yes, we have welcomed some new members since I started, but we are still a small congregation. Now, this is obviously an inadequate response, but it's usually enough for my relatives because they don't surely want me to go into all the minute details of the ways that Percussy Mennonite Church has grown and changed since I began my time here. And to be honest, they might be a little bit shocked and surprised by what I tell them, especially since it doesn't fit into the typical narrative of how most people judge congregational success. If I gave a more thorough response to them, I might say, yes, Percussy Mennonite Church has grown and blossomed in amazing ways in the past 6 years. Let me tell you about it. When I started, Wayne and I spent hours in his office discussing how we could help boost the self-esteem of a congregation that was a little discouraged by their smaller size, their limited energy, and their lack of young people. At community connections team meetings, we struggled to figure out how do we best connect to our neighbors in Percussy. We racked our brains for what we could do that would feel relevant and important, and never seemed to quite find the answers we were looking for. But slowly, over time, Things started shifting. And as you all named time and time again that you wanted to be a space where people could find welcome and love and belonging, you began to realize that perhaps you did have something incredibly valuable to offer. And others started to notice too. New people joined the congregation, inspired by Perkasie Mennonite's openness and willingness to include those whom other churches left behind. Your decision to speak more boldly about God's love for the LGBTQ community started to make an impact in Perkasie Borough, and people began to notice that this church was an ally. We no longer had to make an effort to find ways to connect with the community because the community started coming to us. And all of these things made an impact on the lives of people in our community. And even though most of the folks in town who expressed their appreciation for Perkasie Mennonite Church and all it stands for may never actually attend here, they want this church in their community, in their neighborhood, because Perkasie Mennonite has given them hope and joy and love that they wouldn't have experienced otherwise. So perhaps Perkasie Mennonite Church hasn't grown in membership numbers. It's probably about the same size as when I started. You haven't skewed younger, but age is just a number, right? And you haven't added more programs to try and prove your value with something attractive and flashy, thank goodness. However, you have grown in your sense of worth as a congregation, your sense of calling, and in the impact you make beyond the walls of this building. The Spirit is at work in and among you at Perkasie Mennonite Church, and it is a beautiful thing. So, are you blessed? Are you blessed by the world's standards or by the standards of my relatives? Probably not. But blessed and successful by kingdom standards? Absolutely. Unfortunately, even people in the capital C church fail to see how the kingdom is growing and the Spirit is moving in congregations and communities like ours because people are looking for the wrong things. Why is that? How do we get it so wrong, thinking that the signs of God's blessing are about attendance and money and numerical growth, that those things that can be earned by doing the right things, or that at the very least, if we have those things, they are proof that God approves of our ministry? Even the beautiful passage that we read on the Beatitudes this morning has been twisted by well-meaning preachers so that it's read as instructions for living in order to receive God's blessing, rather than a naming of those who are already blessed by God. Blessed, blessed with blessings that they did not and could not earn. The kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of this world, and therefore the blessings of the kingdom are not something that cause worldly success. Neither are God's blessings something that we can earn, but gifts given freely and with great, great love. This passage of the Beatitudes and the whole Sermon on the Mount was not meant for those who feel or appear successful by the world's standards. The crowds who followed Jesus and his disciples up onto the side of that mountain were people who were in need of hope and encouragement, people who were suffering, ostracized by society, people experiencing physical and emotional pain, people who hoped that in Jesus they would find acceptance, healing, and love. So, Jesus starts his sermon, his most famous message, the message he gives to the disciples and this crowd of followers on that hill, starts it not with instructions for how to better their lives, not with mandates, rules, or judgments, but with a countercultural message of comfort and encouragement. Before they even think about doing something with or for Jesus, he wants them to know their own worth and understand that they do have God's blessing. As he looks out over this crowd of people, I imagine Jesus' heart swelled with compassion for them. He sees in their eyes all the pain, all the struggle, all the feelings of hopelessness or inadequacy, the ways they feel forgotten and left behind, powerless, and he speaks over them these words of affirmation. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And blessed are those who are persecuted for seeking justice. Blessed are you when others say terrible and untrue things about you because you are trying to be like me. You are like the prophets who are persecuted before you, and you will receive blessing after blessing in my kingdom. The Beatitudes aren't a checklist of things to do in order to gain favor with Jesus. It is Jesus naming the experiences and the characteristics of the people sitting in front of him and turning the message of the world upside down. It isn't the strong, the powerful, the able-bodied, the wealthy, the happy, the well-liked people who are blessed in the kingdom of God. It is you, the crowd on the mountainside, who are blessed. The struggling, the suffering, weak, grieving, and persecuted ones. You who have less power here on earth have greater status in God's kingdom. You have God's favor. The Beatitudes aren't something to strive for in order to receive divine blessing. Divine blessing isn't a gift we can earn. And Jesus wants the crowds to know that the kingdom of God is not a kingdom of the powerful and the dominant, but a kingdom for those who grieve and struggle, for persecuted peacemakers. So what does this mean for us? Are we the wealthy and the powerful? Are we the meek and the mournful? Well, it's never really that binary, is it? There are ways in which we all have power and privilege and would not be the least of these who come first and are blessed in God's kingdom. But there are other ways in which we absolutely fall into the list of blessed ones that Jesus describes in the Beatitudes. And I think that's part of the beauty of this passage. It is so broad. And dare I say, inclusive of a wide range of human experience. None of us will likely fit all the categories of the Beatitudes, which is more than fine because this is not a checklist, remember? And we don't get brownie points for being more of these things than someone else. Gotta shut down that competitive American spirit. But when we read through this list, it becomes clear that most of us will fit into at least one of these Beatitudes at some point or another in our lives, if we don't already right now. And beyond that, I don't really think this is an exhaustive list of all those who Jesus believes are blessed in the kingdom of God. I think it's more of a starting point and a reminder that God's kingdom isn't about power, it's about justice and love and peace and comfort and well-being for all of humanity. It's about an end to oppression and unjust exclusion, love and joy reigning over all. And anytime we experience pain or injustice, anytime we grieve, anytime we seek peace or stand against oppression, we are already blessed. Already blessed. Now, I can't speak for Jesus, even as a pastor, but as my former preaching professor would say, in my sanctified imagination, if Jesus were to give Percy Mennonite Church some personal beatitudes today, I believe he might say something like this. Blessed are you who are discouraged, for God will surprise you. Blessed are you who grieve, for you will be comforted. Blessed are you who feel powerless, for the Spirit will strengthen you. Blessed are you who appear too small to make a difference, for the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Blessed are you who experience anxiety and depression, for God is holding you. Blessed are you who are unsatisfied with the status quo, for you will see change. Blessed are you who are old, for your presence and wisdom is a gift. Blessed are you who are healing, for recovery will be yours. Blessed are you who include, for you will experience belonging. Blessed are you who advocate for others, because God will be your advocate. Blessed are you when people say terrible things about you because you welcome drag queens and outsiders, extending love and acceptance to those whom other churches reject in my name. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, and you follow in the footsteps of the prophets who came before you. Perkasie Mennonite Church, you are blessed, blessed by God, not because of anything you have done, but because of who you are. A kind, compassionate, genuinely loving congregation who wants everyone to experience God's embrace. You are blessed when you struggle. You are blessed when you seek to model Jesus. You are blessed when you are tired and need rest. You are blessed when you do absolutely nothing. To the eyes of this world, and even to some in the wider church, your impact may seem small and insignificant, but in the eyes of the kingdom, you are doing so much more. So I pray that you always know you are loved by God and that you are significant to God's kingdom, even perhaps especially on the days when you wonder if you are making a difference. So as we sang in our hymn earlier this morning, rejoice, rejoice, God is with us, and blessed, blessed are you. Amen.